Here's Monitor Now on NBC.
Yes, indeed, here's Monitor Now, and I'm your host, Jim Lowe. Just ahead, we'll be meeting a man who proved that life begins at 40 by becoming a comedian after he had passed the two-score mark. First, though, a little music engineered by the new establishment. I'll Build a Bridge. Has been said and written about Vice President Agnew's recent overseas tour, and its effect will continue to be evaluated, of course, for some time to come. The vice presidential party included at least one person who was leaving the North American continent for the first time, and that person was Mrs. Agnew. For her impressions and reactions, she was interviewed for Monitor by Barbara Walters.
Mrs. Agnew, your recent trip to the Far East with the Vice President, I understand, was the first time that you have traveled outside of this country, right?
Yes, that's correct, except that I did go to Toronto, Canada one time for a convention, but this is really my first time across the ocean.
In this country, we did hear some demonstrations and reaction to the trip of the Vice President. Were these reports exaggerated, do you think?
Yes, I feel that quite a few of them were, because in one instance in Manila, we had heard that they reported Molotov cocktails being thrown at us. But if you've ever been in Manila on New Year's Eve, as we have been, you will find that firecrackers are used quite a good bit. And this is what had been thrown. Firecrackers, they were celebrating New Year's Eve, really. Mm-hmm. And in other countries, they were just noisy.
You were never at any time concerned for your safety.
No, not in the least. Not in the least.
Mrs. Agnew, your husband is very outspoken, of course. He's made a great many friends and he's made a great many enemies. And enemies can be very severe, especially in the press. How do you feel when there is particularly devastating criticism about your husband?
Well, I've let it not bother me. I feel this way, that a person in public life can't please everyone, and there are going to be praises and criticism, and you just take it as it comes.
While we're talking about criticism, in a recent press conference you said that your husband gets home about 7:30 for dinner, that he rarely watches television except for football and golf. I want to know when he had time to watch those news programs he was critical of.
Well, he does watch news programs because he's very interested in seeing what is coming across as far as news. But as far as sitting down for a night of television, this is a very rare thing, believe me.
Mm. You have said in talking about your life in Washington, every once in a while I think to myself, what am I doing here? Do you still feel this way?
Well, everything has happened kind of fast to us. Because really, it's only been since 1962 that my husband has held public office, and that has only been 8 years, really. So it has been a fast rise, and it catches up with me every now and then, but I guess we're here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Now that you have been in Washington and have had a taste of Washington political life, what do you like the most about it, and what is the most difficult for you?
I think I enjoy meeting so many people, not only throughout our country, but the foreign people who come in for visits, for state visits. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and as being able, like on this trip, to see other countries that I'd never had the opportunity before. And as far as anything I really don't like, there's only one thing that I can say now, and then it's the schedule. That is, we are given the schedule every night as to what we will be doing the next day.
You and the Vice President?
Yes, we are handed a schedule. Of course, mostly it's for him, but mine is included too. But
who makes it up?
We have a scheduling office.
And they just tell you what you have to do?
Well, they don't exactly tell us, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of worked up this way that so that we know what we are going to be doing, where we're going to be, who we will be with, and so forth. And every now and then, you kind of rebuild with that schedule.
Thank you, Mrs. Agnew, for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Barbara.
You'll have to admit that on her first trip abroad, Mrs. Agnew really went in style, accompanied by dignitaries, Secret Service men, and reporters. 15 minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Ask any volunteer what reward he receives from serving a hospital, and he'll say the satisfaction of helping to ease the loneliness of those who are ill. Volunteers are dedicated people. They take their duties very seriously, for in this scientific age, they know that a warm smile, a helping hand, or a friendly chat can help those who are hospitalized, and can help the hospital staff at the same time. But many more volunteers are needed, especially during the daytime hours. If you are interested in serving, call the United Hospital Fund for referral. Also ask about their volunteer training courses. You see, as hospitals expand, they need more volunteers to serve during the day and evening. Volunteers who have some knowledge of the hospital world. Also, you will feel more familiar with hospital routine if you enroll in a fun course. As a new volunteer, you may want to take either a day or evening session, which will give you, step by step, an insight into the meaning and mechanics of the hospital volunteer program. Or, if you like people, books, and details, and are able to push a book cart, you may want to enroll in the patient's library training course. Both courses begin soon, so call the United Hospital Fund right away.
WNBC, New York.
Monitor 70, headlining Bobby Sherman with his latest, Easy Come, Easy Go.
I'm taking the shade out of the sun. Whatever may think that I was number one. I ought to know. Easy come, easy go. I'm sitting it out. Just thinking about the chump I've been, I have to smile. Didn't I know? Easy come and easy go. She wasn't kind, I wasn't smart. I lost my mind and fell apart. I had to find myself in time. Now I can start all over again, just hanging around. Slow. So happy I found I
Here's a program note. Later today, the NBC Radio Second Sunday series will present a special program titled The Contaminated Human, documenting the effects of environmental pollution on the human body and examining how much pollution, contamination, and distortion of our environment the human body can withstand now and in the future. This radio special, featuring expert guests and anchored by NBC correspondent Bill Ryan, will be heard after the 9 p.m. news, New York time. Be sure to listen.
Stay right here on NBC.
Now, Monitor Sports. Throughout the weekend, Monitor has been following the progress of the Bob Hope Golf Tournament. For our final on the spot report, we're going to pause 6 seconds and then switch to the Bob Hope Desert Classic at Palm Desert, California.
This is Frank Dill. The 1970 Bob Hope Desert Classic finished in a blaze of Bruce Devlin birdies, and the personable Australian walked off with a four-stroke victory and the $25,000 first prize. As he left the 18th green, I talked to the winner.
Bruce Devlin, congratulations. Thank from you. NBC Monitor. A brilliant round of golf today. Much. And you had six birdies today?
Seven birdies, I think, and a three-putted 10 for bogey.
Oh, that's right. As a matter of fact, after taking a tie in the tournament after the ninth hole, Ziegler having three-putted 9, you went into a flat-footed tie at 18 under par at that point, and then you bogeyed 10, so you had to make a comeback.
I three-putted 10 and then birdied 11, 13, 15, and 16.
That's a great finish.
Well, thank you very much.
You said on the first tee today, when I talked to you, you'd gladly settle for a 67, and you surprised yourself with a 66.
I sure did. I didn't even think I'd shoot 67, but it was, everything worked pretty good.
All right, what plans do you have for $25,000 first prize you won today?
Well, pay off some of my loan.
Good luck to you, and congratulations to you and Mrs. Devlin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bruce Devlin, the winner of the Bob Hope Desert Classic with a 90-hole score of 339, 21 under par. Finishing second with a check for $14,300 was Larry Ziegler at 17 under. Ziegler was even par 72 today. Third place, Larry Hinson at 13 under 347. In fourth place, Arnold Palmer, 12 under 348. After that, at 11 under, Gene Littler and Bob Murphy. At 10 under, Tommy Aaron and Don Bees. At 9 under, Billy Casper, Terry Wilcox, and Gardner Dickinson. At 8 under par, Dave Hill, Rick Rhodes, Bobby Nichols, Miller Barber, and Lee Trevino. But the story today was Bruce Devlin with a sizzling 66 in the final round of the Bob Hope Desert Classic, winning walking away by four strokes as Larry Ziegler, the 30-year-old long ball hitter from St. Louis, faltered in the stretch and had to settle for a 72 and second place. That's it from the Bob Hope Desert Classic. Our producer, Hal Ashby, technical director, Dale Harry, statistician, Bob Humphrey. In 6 seconds, we switch to Jim Lowe in New York. This is Frank Dill for Monitor Sports.
Frank Dill, thanks very much for a fine job throughout the weekend.
Listen and hear that brass harmony growing. When the parade passes by, pardon me if my old spirit is showing. All of the lights over there seem to be telling me where I'm going. When the whistles blow and the cymbals crash, the sparkle
Before the parade passes by, Barbara Streisand. And if you're wondering what to do after the parade passes by, we say let's go bowling.
Folks, Jonathan Winters here for AMF to interview senior bowling champion Granny Frickert. How long have you been bowling, Maud?
About 10 minutes, sonny.
No, I mean how many years?
Oh, about 30 years. I was just a baby when I started.
How can I be a bowling champ, Maud?
AMF.
You mean use AMF accessories?
I mean AMF. Ask Marty Frickert. That's a bowling funny. Of course, I mean use AMF balls, bags, and shoes, jockey. AMF has the most beautiful line of balls, bags, and shoes. Just right for any bowler, even if they're not a champion like me. And now when you buy any AMF bag, shoes, or ball, including the bigger Dick Weber ball, you get a bonus coupon that saves you $3.50 on a special offer.
What's the offer, Granny?
Giant inflatable, sonny. A 4-foot bowling pin. And a 30-inch inflatable bowling ball. Want my secret on how to roll a strike every time? It's this. All you do.
Now monitor sports with a look at the week ahead. Tomorrow, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show at Madison Square Garden, the South American Swimming and Diving Championships at Lima, Peru, the Omaha United States Track and Field Federation Indoor Meet, and the $5,000 Women's International Open Tennis Tournament at the Vanderbilt Athletic Club here in New York. Tuesday, the $60,000 Professional Bowlers Association Ebonite Open at Kansas City, Missouri. Thursday, the $100,000 Tucson Open Golf Tournament. Friday, the Astrodome Federation Relay Championship track meet at Houston. And welterweight champion Jose Napoles defends his title against Indian Red Lopez at Inglewood, California. Saturday, the World Ski Championships at Val Gardena, Italy, and Vysok Tatry, Czechoslovakia. The Men's World Speed Skating Championships at Oslo, Norway. The $50,000 added Bougainvillea at Hialeah, and a pair of track meets, the Los Angeles Times and the Mason-Dixon Games at Louisville. And on Sunday, the National Indoor Open Tennis Championships at Salisbury, Maryland. And that's a look at the week ahead in sports. Max March, Mr. New Orleans, Al Hurt, back with the Hugo Montenegro Orchestra. You heard it on Monitor 70, serving all of America with information and entertainment. Our friends along Florida's Miracle Strip join us on WCOA Pensacola, the home of the Navy's Blue Angels. I'm your host, Jim Lowe, back shortly.